Well, we come on to our reading, and I split it into two parts, and I'm just going to read the very first part of 1 Corinthians. And just to give you a little bit of background, Paul, who was previously known as Saul of Tarsus, let's just give you a little bit of background on Paul, because sometimes we plow into these readings, I find, we don't always have a background. He was born just a few years before Jesus, 4 years before Jesus Christ. He lived to the age of 64 and was beheaded under King Nero at the age of 64. So, but in that lifetime, my goodness, what a lifetime. As a young boy, he was very good at using his hands. And he learned to make tents. And the material for tents was actually available because there was quite a rare type of goat that lived in that particular valley where he was brought up, the Cecilia Valley. And that goat hair, believe it or not, was made goats. Now, I'll tell you in a minute how Paul came to Christ, but that tent making proved to be really, really useful because in his ministry to the churches, by being a guide, by being a preacher, by being an encourager, by trying to mend their ways, remind them what Jesus Christ did for them and us, dying for our sin, and that was the only way. He walked and rode a donkey 10,000 miles over 30 years. 10,000 miles over 30 years. The books in here are absolutely amazing what Paul writes. Absolutely amazing. It's almost like a guidebook book in many senses. But it wasn't all like that. As Paul grew up, he was a bit of a cynic of the so-called Christians. What's going on? Even Stephen, who was one of the first Christians, Stephen was preaching. He was had up by the Roman authorities. Paul was sat down. And people decided to let him look after their cloaks, their coats, whilst they stoned Stephen. Paul was there whilst they stoned Stephen. Stephen's words, very much like Jesus Christ on the cross, were, "Forgive them, Father, they do not know what they do." And from that point, he then had a thing against Christians. He killed Christians. He went after Christians. He took the road to Damascus, as stated in Acts. And many of you will know what happened. All this vengeance. And Jesus basically, he hears the voice of Jesus. You know, "Leave my people alone." It's not quite the quote, but it means that. You know, why do you, are you killing my people? And he's blinded. He's blinded by this really, really bright light. You can imagine it from being somebody who wants to kill Christians, blinded by the light, hearing the voice of Jesus, and he's just groping his way around. And there's different accounts within the Bible, different accounts from various scholars. But basically, he was blind. He heard the voice of Jesus Christ, and then he could see. And it was that seeing and that 30 years of building, being instrumental of building the churches and making sure people were on the right path. So what a life he had. And there was a lot of guilt, blood on his hands, but there was also this distinct calling, this distinct spiritual gift. You go, Paul, and talk to my people. So I'm going to just do the first part of Corinthians. We've got John doing a little bit later on. The Church of Corinthians basically just lost their way. They lost their way. There was divisiveness, there was jealousy, there was sexual immorality, there was failure to discipline even the members of the church at the time. So Paul was sent to Corinthians. Paul called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God and our brother Sosthenes. Sosthenes was his secretary, by the way. To the Church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be his holy people, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours, grace and peace to you from God, our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Then under a section called Thanksgiving, I always thank my God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way, with all kinds of speech, with all knowledge, God thus confirming our testimony about Christ among you. Therefore you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will also keep you firm to the end, so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. That part of the reading there, firstly, towards the end, God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship with his Son. That's just amazing, isn't it? With his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. So we are to continue to the best of our ability, based on the spiritual gifts being given to us by the Holy Spirit, to continue the work of Jesus. It's a tough calling, isn't it? It's a tough thing to do. Isn't it wonderful, though? And I put here, isn't it lovely to receive a personal invitation, as opposed to a generic one, but a proper invitation, whether it's to lunch, whether it's to tea, whether it's for a chat, whether it's over a beer, whether it's a trip out to Weymouth, which I should have reminded you, by the way, Weymouth trip, September the 12th. Coming back to 1 Corinthians. God personally invites us to be citizens of his eternal kingdom. We are called to be his holy people, not just here, not in every church across the land, across the universe, but everyone worldwide. We are called to be his holy people. People in the Philippines, people in India, people in Australia, people in America, everywhere. And it's just basically those two commandments, isn't it? Those first two commandments. Pray to only God, God the Father. So no idols, which Katie will be covering more next week. And to love one another. Love your brother. Love your sister. However, Jesus Christ, God's Son, is the only one who can bring us into this glorious kingdom. Because he is the only one who removes our sin. He is, as it says, put very nicely by John, he is the way, the life, the truth. That narrow gate, that's the only gate to go through. But it's actually a very, very big gate because it welcomes anybody and everybody across our world who just turns, who just repents, turns, and comes to Jesus Christ. There's a word I picked out here which is quite interesting in verse 2. To the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus. Sometimes we can skip over words, can't we? And I find it quite interesting, actually. I think sanctified. I think I know it. I'm not sure, actually. I think I'll maybe look it up. And sanctified means we are chosen or set apart by Christ for his service. But that we are chosen includes the many people we reach out to. The many people we are supposed to reach out to. The many people who are placed in our path, providing we open our heart and hear what the Holy Spirit has for us. We can only accept God's invitation by accepting his Son, Jesus Christ, and God, by completely trusting in the Word and what he did on the cross to forgive our sins. Nothing, nothing, nothing is more important than Jesus' death on a cross for each of us. Nothing. What the cross represents, freedom, no slavery to sin, rebirth, new life, eternal life after death through Jesus Christ. The second part of the reading, which is going to be just a little summary of the gifts and love, and it's very difficult. 1 Corinthians, what a book in the Bible. What a book. And one thing I didn't tell you, there's 27 books in the New Testament. 13 ascribed to Paul, 50%. Now, the evidence suggests that Paul wrote 7 of those 13, and it was other people, like Timothy, for example, who wrote on his behalf or wrote later after his death. But that's incredible, the number of books. So Paul, a lot of the time people think, obviously Jesus Christ is the most important, always will be. But a lot of people think, oh, John, he's important. James, his brother's important. Oh, Simon Peter, he's important. But there's quite a lot of people, I'm beginning to be one of them now, where Paul is second most important to Jesus Christ. It's quite incredible. We'll come on to that second part of the reading. But we're just going to have a little bit of fun. I need 2 volunteers. So, Cherry, that was very nice of you to volunteer. Where's our other volunteer, Julie? Oh, Julie, yes, you knew I was going to pick on you. You would come on. So, Cherry. Now, Cherry, do you want to be in the black team or the white team? Go there. Julie, come over here. Right. Now, what they've got to do, we are going to have a bit of fun with this, all right? But there is a meaning to this. We're going to start off with a number 15. Count downwards. This is going to be an exercise, isn't it? Count downwards to 0. So they got 15 seconds to build some sort of tower. There might be from chess pieces. It's not going to be easy, is it? So it might be only 2 or 3 pieces, and we'll see who's got the highest. There's no prize except a round of applause, I'm afraid. So are we not quite ready, steady, go? Because I've got a piece of paper here somewhere, which could be of importance. And it could be. Yeah, you're not allowed to start yet, you know. I'm looking at you. Right. I have... Oh, I've only got 1 set of instructions. Oh, never mind. I'm closest to you. Oh, you chose black. And look. So, are we ready? On your mark, set, set, go. Start counting slowly from 15 down to 0. Go. It just so happens that the 4 pieces you need those 2. Put those away. You need that one. You're building a tower as high as you can make it. So I think, is that 0?
Oh, we've got to go like that.
Oh. Now, you've got to hold this. All right, let's get this. Hey, we had 0 a while ago. There lies the story. So let's just give them both a round of applause, okay? And look, we didn't quite have time to read through the instructions as I would have liked. But the theory is, what does it say at the top of that little piece of paper?
Instructions.
And what's underneath? My bad writing, guidance.
Four pieces you need are... 2 castles.
A queen and a king.
Yeah, king and a queen.
Don't have to go through the whole lot. But you see, now one person here had instructions, had guidance. One person persevered, did really well. Well done, by the way. That's not bad going.
No, I never fell off the top.
Oh, dear. But that's what Paul is doing. He's giving instructions. He's providing guidance. Because otherwise we just try and do our own thing. And isn't that still the sense now as opposed to... You can sit down, by the way.
Yeah, Jerry, your mic is just hitting
your mic. Oh, it's hitting my mic. Let me put it in there. Right, thank you. Well done, you two. But that's basically just an illustration. And you think of all the books. Now, all right, who's better at following instructions? When you get some furniture from IKEA or somewhere... women better at following instructions or men? Let's have a vote on it. Hands up who thinks women are better at following instructions. Hands up who thinks men are better at following instructions. The women just about do it. Now, I don't know what it is. Quite a lot of blokes do this in the car as well, looking for a place. Don't you remember? Husbands or late husbands going along. Dear, why don't we pull over and look at the map? No, I know where it is. I know where it is. It's the next right and the next left. I know exactly where it is. Leave it to me. 10 minutes later, they pulled over into a lay-by, haven't they? So we need to be instructed. We need guidance. We need reminders, which is why it's so lovely to come alongside you here today, because I need it. Boy, oh boy, I probably need more guidance and instruction than any of you here. But we all need that, and it's nothing to be ashamed about. And picking up this book here, the best book in the world, you can't beat it. John's going to come now and do the second reading. I've got a short summary afterwards for you. Thank you, John. We're going to go to spiritual gifts. There's a very good reason why we're going to go to this one. It's chapter 12, verse 4 to 11. Thank you, John. Over to you.
There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them, and in every one, it is the same God at work. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit. And he distributes them to each one, just as he determines. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, John. Now, I wanted to pick out, there's so much we could have picked out. I'd have loved to have covered Corinthians over 4 weeks. I'll be honest with you, because it's just, there's so much stuff in here. But, do you know, you get talking to people, especially when you consider church mission trips, like to the Philippines, for example. And I'm not going to mention the name of the people, but, you know, people say to me, oh, I'm not good enough. I haven't got any skills. I can't do that. I'm no good with kids. Oh, I'd be useless at building. God has purpose for each and every one of us, from a very young age to the age we exit earth. And it is this giving over completely to God and saying, I'm in your hands, use me, have your way with me. And this is what this reading's about. And he goes on to say a very interesting part about the body being made of different parts. And I love that image, the body of Christ, being all of us, being every Christian and every non-Christian we meet or unsure about their faith. We can plant the seed, God will do the watering. But, you know, the arm's not going to work very well without a head on my shoulders. The legs aren't going to work very well without a brain. We all need every part of the body. And the gifts, if you like, can be seen as different parts of the body. So one may have a brilliant gift of making a cake and popping along to number 77 because I haven't seen them for a while. It's a nice excuse. You sit down and have a chat. Another might have the gift because they've got a car. We'll go for a drive. Look, it's sunny today and it's all rainy tomorrow. Let's go for a drive. Another might have a gift of just sitting, just being, nothing else. I've come to sit with you for a while. Is that all right? Oh, yeah, I haven't seen anybody for 2 weeks. Come on in. The person's distressed. What does God want you to do? Be there. Sit. Listen. Just to be. So all I'm saying is we can beat ourselves up about not having the skills to do what God wants us to do. But they're in there. They've been planted in there already. They're in the heart. All we have to do is open our heart, as opposed to doubting ourselves and beating ourselves up and looking at maybe something we did wrong in the past. Lord, here I am. I've opened my heart. What am I going to do? How can I? What's expecting me, Lord, in this situation here? I've got starving people around me. I don't want to do it in my name. It's got to be your will, not my will. I don't want to be feeling better afterwards either. It's God's will. I don't want to labour on that too much, but I did just put down one or two notes that I just got time to read before we move on. And you know, I'm just going to tell you something, actually. It made me smile. We went to see newer version of The Lion King. Has anybody seen the newer version yet? It's on the cinemas at the moment. What did you think of it? It's lovely. And I love the way I don't know how they do it, how they get the animals to speak. And you'll tell me the lion who's killed by his brother, the bad brother, the good father, and the good father is killed, Mufasa. And you know something that I've got written down here, and I hope I haven't lost it. Here it is. Mufasa says to his son, Simba, many come into this world planning what to take. What you must do, son, is wonder what you can give. I love that. Many come into this world planning what to take. What you must do, son, is wonder what you can give. Providing it's not to make us feel better. Oh, I know, I'm going to do this because I'm a good person. If you feel it's what God wants you to do, if the opportunity's been put there to you, if you're walking past a beggar, don't cross the road. That type of thing, okay? I just love that sentiment. I'm going to finish with 1 Corinthians 13, because I don't want to overrun. It talks about love. And this, I probably left the most important thing until the end. God is love, and everything has to be done in love. It can't be done, Jerry told me on Thursday that I got to do this. Oh, I better do it, I suppose. It's got to be done through the heart, because you know it's what, WWJD, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do in this situation? Is look into the heart, make yourself free, open yourself up, and serve the Lord, not serve yourself. And Corinthians 13 is a brilliant, brilliant one to read through. I'm just going to finish on verse 13 where it says, and now these three remain, faith, hope, love, and the greater of these is love. Everything has to be done through love, even if we're in a bad state ourselves. God is love. Jesus Christ was sacrificed on the cross for love. We can only serve, forgive, trust, suffer through his love. We cannot do even good things through our own will alone, through the feeling of it's our turn, because we feel we probably should do to feel better. It has to be starting from our heart. Our discernment, the spiritual gifts given to us, and our love for Jesus Christ. Amen.